Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, I want to begin reading with verse 10 and continue reading through verse 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. Now I want you to think for just a minute that you are in this assembly in the synagogue. It may be that you're in the middle of your worship to God as they worshiped God in that day. It may be that a song has just been sung, and during the singing of that song, this lady comes walking in to take her place. We recognize her because she has been here many times, but she has been sick for 18 years. Her disease today would be known as osteoporosis. Her condition was so bad that she was bent over double. Her face is looking to the ground because she can't look up. It's hard for her to even look up to see ahead. As the scripture says, she could in no way lift herself up. Her infirmity had caused her great embarrassment over the years, and everyone took pity on her. The children would giggle when she walked by because she could not stand, and no one could help her. Her situation was irreversible. She could not be healed. But this was the Sabbath day. And Jesus was teaching here in the synagogue on this day. And something unbelievable is about to happen. Jesus sees her and has more than just pity on her. He has mercy on her. And he calls to her and he says, "Woman, you are set free." And when he touched her, she immediately stood up straight. Her infirmity was gone. And she begins to praise God in front of the whole synagogue because of what Jesus had done for her on that day. But then there is the synagogue ruler who became indignant with this activity, and he began to criticize Jesus. Because not only did he heal the woman, but he healed the woman on the Sabbath day. So Jesus reminds this ruler that on the Sabbath one would even be allowed to loose his ox or his donkey to take him to drink water. Why shouldn't this woman, a child of Abraham, a child of God who has been bound by the devil for 18 years, why should this woman not be set free, regardless of what day it is? Even on the Sabbath. And when he said this, everyone who was against him were humiliated and felt shame. And the people were delighted that this lady had been healed by the Lord. It was a wonderful thing that had taken place in her life. You know, when I read this story, this tells me so many things that we need to know about God, about our ailments, about things that happen to us in life, and to understand that we have a God who cares, we have a God who loves, and we have a God who does things for us. The first thing I want us to think about when we think about this story is the fact that Satan is alive and well. You know, this story plainly teaches that this woman's disease was caused by Satan. Because in verse 16, it tells us that Satan had bound her with this infirmity for 18 years. We also need to understand that Satan is working today just as he worked in the days of Jesus. He is constantly badgering you and me with infirmities, maybe not physical infirmities, but with some kind of infirmity of life. He is at the center of all sickness, whether it be spiritual, physical, or emotional. Everything that is ugly, everything that is hurtful, all the thoughts and the actions that happen to us in life in a negative way happens because of Satan from the Garden of Eden on up to today's time. He is involved in everything that goes wrong in your life and mine. The fact is, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where Satan, as Peter said, operates like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone, and that someone is you and me. But then Paul gives us a little encouragement in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. On this occasion that Paul is talking about, he said, "But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." And then he said this, "And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Peter and Paul are both telling us Satan is alive today, but we have a God who can rescue us from Satan's clutches. And you know, we should not really find this surprising. We shouldn't think of this as a strange thing, that God, our God, is more powerful than Satan. He's always been more powerful than Satan. What Satan does to us, God allowed him to do so that we can make our own decision as to whether or not we want to follow the Lord or whether we want to follow Satan. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man." In other words, what he does to one, he does to all. And the things that he does to one work so well, he does it to all. He used three different types of temptations with Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he has never had to vary from one of those three things because they all work. It also says here that God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Brethren, God wants us to live better lives, and he will be there to help us when we fall into one of Satan's snares. Even though Satan is behind all of the suffering that we go through in life, God has promised us that he can even take the bad things that Satan does to us and work it out for our good and for our benefit if we will allow him, if we will love him, and if we will be subject to him. He will make it work out for our good. I mean, let's look at some of the examples of this. Job lost everything from his riches to his lands to his family. But in the end, he was blessed far more than anything he had ever had before. Think about Joseph. At a young age, was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused of adultery, and he was thrown into jail. But yet we see that God used these things to bless him and to eventually bless Israel. So you see, God is going to take care of us, even though Satan is alive and works against us every day. Second thing this story teaches us is patience. This woman had had an infirmity for 18 years. Now, I don't know. There are several of us in here that has a few years on them. But I don't know of anyone in here who has had to deal with the same thing for 18 years. That's a long time to deal with an infirmity. Can you imagine her for 18 years? Walking stooped over, looking at the rocks on the ground because she can't see the sky. But yet, this woman come to worship at the synagogue for 18 years. Nothing changed in her condition, yet she continued to honor her God. Friends, we have people today who won't come to church if it's raining or if it's cold outside. We have people today who won't come to church if there's something good on television. But yet, she was bent over. She was hurting. And she still, even though she was bent over, she was not broken. She never stopped believing. She never stopped loving her Lord. And she never stopped obeying Him. That tells me that we need to have the patience, not of Job that we say so often. Maybe we need to have the patience of this poor woman. Next thing that this story is to challenge us to check our perspective in life. How do we view the world? Look at your life. How do you view the world from where you stand? Do we look to the world to solve our problems? Do we look to the world's riches to solve our problems? Do we look to the things that it has to offer us to solve our problems? Do we look to political clout, people who have power to solve our problems? Or do we look to Jesus for our healing? Jesus can give us spiritual, emotional, physical, and social healing. We just need to determine where our faith is. Where is your faith? Is your faith in maybe your education? Is your faith in your career? Is your faith in the stock market? Is your faith in modern medical advances to help you when you become physically ill? Or maybe your faith is in the material blessings that you have in life. I want to suggest to you that none of these things can cure your infirmities. Only God can cure your infirmities. And then finally, we need to understand every one of us are bent. Every one of us are bent. What is it that really keeps you from enjoying life? We've all got something to get in the way. What is it that keeps you from being the kind of person that God wants you to be? Maybe we turn away from God because of the recent loss of a loved one. Maybe we want to blame God for that and say, God, why did you take this person from me? I love this person. I wanted to be near this person. Why are they gone? Why did you do this? I've had people come to me personally and ask me, why did God do this to me? And my answer is, God hasn't done anything to you. Sin is what has done this to you. Maybe it's the loss of a job, or maybe a backward step in your career. Maybe that's what's keeping you from being the person God wants you to be. Maybe it is a disease that threatens your health or maybe even threatens your life. And you have turned that against God and have stopped serving Him in your life. Maybe it's a broken relationship with someone in your family or maybe a friend that has caused you to walk away from God because it angers you that God has caused you to lose this relationship. And then maybe it is some sin that has so easily beset you. Maybe you have found something in this life that you love more than you love God. Maybe you have the fear of growing old. Maybe you have the fear of having a future. We all have something that makes us bent. But there is good news for this. There is a fix for being bent. When Jesus saw this woman, He called her, He touched her, He healed her. And her infirmity was gone. And we can be assured today that what He did that day for that broken woman, He can do today for us. Even though our situation may seem hopeless, even though we may think of our condition as being desperate, even though we may have done all that we know to do, to no avail, God can still, at any moment, on any given day, He can rectify our past. He can justify our presence. He can glorify our future. And He can purify our hearts and satisfy our souls if we will only allow Him. And the greatest thing is that He can come down and take us back with Him to heaven. And that is a victory. That is a victory over Satan. That is a victory over sin. And there is nothing that sin and Satan can do about it. I want to close by reading something to you from the Apostle Paul. And I want you to listen very closely because this sums up pretty much everything that I have said. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now this is Paul telling the church at Corinth, his experience. We are hard pressed on every side. He could have said, we're all bent. But yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. And basically what he's trying to tell you and I is this. We may be bent, but we are not broken. We are just like this little old woman who kept on trucking, who kept on going forward. Even though she had to bend over to move, she moved. And she did what she knew she had to do to follow her Lord. And Jesus is looking at each one of us this evening. And He knows what we go through in life. Be sure that what you go through in life, even though it may bend you, be sure that it does not break you. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to come to the Lord this evening through faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as His Son, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, even though you're bent. If you are not a Christian, I can guarantee that you are bent. You are bent spiritually. But you're not broken yet. You can still come to the Lord and He can rescue you and He can touch you and He can save you just as He did this old lady. If you will let Him. And Christian, it may be that you have done this. But because you have fallen into one of these traps that Satan has put out there for you, and it has bent you over. You're not broken yet. You can still come back to the Lord. And He will do the same thing for you that He did for this little old lady. He can touch you. He can heal you. He can save you all over again if you will come back to Him. Like I said, we're all bent. But don't let Satan break you. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.